When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Quarter number four on a Friday. Not just any Friday either. It's the Rockies' home opener. They're going to take on the Tampa Bay Rays in about an hour and 9 minutes from right now. Will Peterson sitting in for Stoke, and we're going to get you through the rest of this hour and then get out of the way for Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay. They're the drive, and they're going to get you home today, get you through the game, keep the party rolling here. If you can't get to the game, like I said, we got a very special prize that could help in that department. All you got to do is come down, scan our QR code, and that's it. You are in the running right there. All right, Will, we're going to get into some Broncos here. I want to talk about Sean Payton. I want to talk about something Sean said at the owners' meetings, and then see if we can learn anything from the comments as to the quarterbacks that now they are bringing in and who maybe fits this bill the best. So Sean Payton from the owners' meeting on talking about things he's looking for and how important processing is for him for his future quarterback.
I'd like to find out how they process, how quickly it comes. You know, if we send them information at 5 p.m. the prior day and we send them more than we think that they're going to have a chance to study. Like, we've all been in that position. Now, it may not have been football, but 5 p.m. on a college Thursday, test on Friday, and more than we have enough time to study. How do they handle that? Where's the break point the next day? Is there one? Do they handle it really well? Do they really struggle? You know, what time are they at the facility? Have they been preparing? Are they early? Like, all of it, it's interesting. It's fascinating. And these guys are, when I say they're not kids, but it's a good group. You know, when we're talking about some of these younger quarterbacks that, man, certainly they're prepared. They've been well coached. They've been well coached in college relative to the game.
He loves that term, relative to.
Relative.
All right, so.
I had a few lattes relative to what I had last time.
He's talking about processes. He's talking about making decisions quickly when you have a lot coming at you or a lot on your plate. He's obviously talking about how quick the game is, how quickly you can process a play, throw somebody open, read when it's going to be open, not wait for it to be open. That's what he wants. All of those things tell us why Russ didn't work, right?
Right.
He's giving us a ton of hints on that front. But now with what he said and what he's looking for, is there somebody that jumped out? He just described J.J. McCarthy. Well, he just described Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix. Did somebody jump out to you as that? Or is that now the same process Sean's going to do? We're going to do the exercise here and work out who fits that bill the best.
Yeah, it feels like McCarthy or Nix to me would be the two that he's talking about there. And let's be honest. Those are the two that have been the most linked to the Broncos by a mile. It was McCarthy early on, and then, unfortunately, he became the cool kid and jumped into the top five, and now it's Nix. So, yeah, I think it's Nix or McCarthy. But I also think Sean Payton's almost honest to a fault, right? Like, when he said that stuff to Jarrett Bell of USA Today, called Nathaniel Hackett the worst head coach in NFL history, said if it was a playoff team, he was going to be ticked off. It was a goldmine for you and I in this job. But a lot of Broncos fans cringe, like, why is he opening his mouth? Why is he saying those things? So I do think, Josh, we have to take him at face value, because I think some folks may say, well, he's just playing poker right now. You know, he's saying, you got to fit my system, you got to fit my system, this and that, but I actually want player X, Y, or Z who doesn't fit the system. Not what I've learned about Sean Payton in the last year as the Broncos head coach. Honest to a fault, I think he's telling the truth here. And I think the whole, hey, we're going to give you more than you can possibly comprehend and see how you do. We all had that teacher or that professor who overwhelmed you with information. Half of it, you think they're kind of a jerk. And half of it, maybe you look back and say, hey, that actually helped me out a lot. So if you pass Sean's tests, you can be Sean's next quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if he falls in love with J.J. McCarthy, is it even possible to make J.J. McCarthy a Denver Bronco? I don't know.
Yeah, and JJ was the one that I thought of too. It was the first one that comes to it. They ran a pro style system. JJ adapted to what the defense was giving to him. Hey, if our run game's working and we can trust the defense, I don't have to do that much. Now the Broncos aren't going to be in that position because of roster, but JJ is the person I thought of as well. And I also think it, again, like we talked about earlier, setting a standard. Sean knows exactly what he wants, and maybe he doesn't get the mold if it's JJ McCarthy. But hey, Bo Nix looks like that and missing this, but I can teach that. The processing, the throwing a guy open, reading the defense pre-snap instead of letting it all play out in real time. That's, I think, where Sean is going to be beneficiary to Broncos country. Like, I know people are frustrated by him, and he can be a jerk and all the things that you said, but benefit of the doubt, this guy can make good things happen with quarterbacks that have question marks around them. Drew Brees, Tony Romo, all the history that he has had, he's elevated everybody around him. And as I keep saying, like, we have no choice but to accept that. But I think these kind of things of what he's looking for, you get a little insight as to what he's trying to teach. JJ McCarthy is, it doesn't seem like he's attainable to me. So Bo Nix is that next best that's going to land right there that can also fit that bill.
Yeah, and it does feel like you're settling to some extent with Bo Nix because you couldn't get McCarthy, and you thought 2 months ago McCarthy would be there for you in the first round. You thought he'd be there at 12, and now it's like, no, he's going to be in the top four. I think, though, too, and we heard this from Spencer Rattler, that he had to prepare for the Broncos more than any other meeting that he had thus far. I think Sean putting these guys through the ringer is a good thing, Josh.
I do, too.
Because you remember what happened the last time the Broncos took a quarterback in the first round? They took Paxton Lynch. Not trying to be rude. All you had to do was watch a 30-second interview with Paxton Lynch and know the lights weren't really real bright upstairs. If John Elway had done more homework, we would have avoided the Paxton Lynch disaster in Denver. Sean is going to assure nothing like that happens this time around.
I was told that after Paxton was drafted by the Broncos, that his playbook at Memphis was not 8 pages deep, it was 8 plays deep. He knew 8 plays.
So he was like playing NFL Blitz in 1996.
Where if the defense picks the same one, you're screwed?
Yeah, like you're going to throw the bomb or crosses.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like John was a great GM his first 5 years. But John's GM tenureship went really poorly after he drafted Paxton Lynch. That was 100% the fork in the road. An incredible 5 years and a disastrous 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was Paxton Lynch. They can't screw this up. They need to take an intelligent quarterback, and Sean is going to get that right because, as we've discussed, he's putting them through it. And also, you just hear that soundbite. He ain't taking no dummy. I promise you
that's
that.
Right.
He is not taking a less than high IQ quarterback.
All right, 303-713-1043. You just showed me a video. You wondered earlier how Dick Monfort would be handling today. And he's handing out, I don't know what he was handing out, but he's handing like a flyer.
I think it's like a magnet with the season schedule on it.
Okay. And he's taking selfies and saying hello to the people.
He's doing this at the gate at 20th and Blake, everyone.
Really?
Dick Monfort is not hiding. He's not in his ivory tower. He is at the gate at 20th and Blake, and there are fans taking selfies with Dick Monfort. Dick Monfort's about the last person on earth I would take a selfie with, but to each their own.
It's being serious for a second, I actually give him credit for doing that, because if I were in his shoes and I know what my perception is from the public, I'd stay as far away from said public as possible.
I'd hide.
Yeah, thank you. I wouldn't leave that ivory tower that you referenced right there, but he's out. He's out and about. You can go get your photo with Dick Monfort right at 20th and Blake. All right, we're going to have a conversation with Rachel Vigil of Coffee Break. She's been down at the ballpark. She's been kicking it here with us and going to make her way back. So we'll talk to Rachel Vigil coming up next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Leading you up to first pitch, here's Stokely and Josh.
It's Will Peterson sitting in for Stoke today, and we're rocking with you till 2 o'clock. Zach Five, Philip Lindsay take over, and they will be live here at El Patio, where we are right across the street from Coors Field. Come by, say hi, see us, and talk to Rachel B. Hill, who is here with us right now. What's up, Rach? How you doing?
Hi. I've never been to El Patio. You guys, this is the place to be.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is freaking awesome.
It is a great spot indeed. So come by, say hi, see us. There's still plenty of room for you, and we're literally right across the street from the ballpark. Rach, what's early feelings on opening day? We've said it all morning, like, it's a different energy. It's not about baseball today, but well, what are you making of the day? The crowd, does it seem smaller, bigger, the same? How you feeling?
Honestly, and I feel bad saying this because it's my hometown team with the Rockies, but this is the only day I care about baseball because there's nothing is going to get better, unfortunately. That's one of the sad things. I did see that Dick Monfort was out there welcoming people as they walked into Coors Field, which was a little interesting. And I think that there's a reputation right now that the Rockies are actually feeling when it comes to it. And I do think, I used to come down here before I started working in sports, and I would get down here at 8 a.m. and it would be crazy packed.
Yeah.
It wasn't crazy packed until like 11 or maybe even 11:30. So I do think because it's not quote-unquote true opening day and they've already played a few games that the hype has already died around the Rockies a little bit. But, I mean, it's still a blast to come out here, and the weather's gorgeous, so you can't complain.
Yeah, I'd rather hang at El Patio the rest of the afternoon than go watch the baseball game. But, Rachel, let me ask you this. I agree with you that the vibe is maybe not quite as chaotic as I've seen in my 12, 13 years I've worked in Denver media as a professional. But is that because of 103 losses last year, or is that the 1-6 start this year? Because 1-6 doesn't help, don't get me wrong. But it's not like 103 builds anticipation for the following season either.
I bet you could have walked around to 50 people in this bar today and been like, hey, what was the record for the Rockies last year? And nobody would know. So I think it's more the 1-6 so far this year, right? Like, it's fresh in your mind. It is what it is. Otherwise, I think everybody kind of looks at what the Rockies did and they're like, oh, it was just another bad season. It is what it is.
But I think they remember 100. First time in franchise history they lost 100.
And I still don't know if I could have told you before I started diving into all my Rocky stuff if I would have been like, oh, yeah, that was the record last year.
It's just because it's out of sight, out of mind. It's they're the little engine that can in Denver sports. Well, and it's always that feeling.
Come September, we were watching Sean Payton and Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
We were watching Rockies baseball.
Absolutely.
I asked Will this earlier, Rachel, and I think today it's different because it's not a baseball crowd. But, like, tomorrow and Sunday, it'll certainly happen. You think they get booed today by the fans, by their hometown fans on the first home game?
I don't think so.
No?
It's just, like, it's what it is nowadays. It's the Colorado Rockies. You know they're going to be bad. You come out here for the ballpark, the popcorn, the hot dogs, the lemonades, whatever you're going to be drinking out there at Coors Field. You're not coming for any product on the field. I will be interested, though, because of Chris Bryant and his comments before the season started, to see if he will get a negative reaction. Because people do care about the Mile High City, and if you offend somebody who lives here or anything of that nature, they might come at you a little bit.
Yeah, Chris Bryant basically said, I didn't realize how bad this team sucked before I signed
here. He said that in a much nicer term, but I like how you said it.
I'm paraphrasing.
It was much better how you said it.
I'm also, as I get a look from Drew, I'm just passing the message along. I'm paraphrasing, I swear. Rachel, in terms of the future of the Rockies, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Because your tone earlier, you said it's just the Rockies. But, I mean, does that literally mean it's just the Rockies for the rest of our lives? Or could they be good in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? What could possibly change outside, of course, Dick Monfort selling the team, which I don't think many people expect to happen?
No, I don't expect that to happen either. And to be completely honest, yeah, it could be another 10 years, whatever. But their comments, I know front office was trying to make people feel better by coming out and saying, like, people work really hard here and whatever.
That was great. Walker Monfort, Dick's son, who said those comments yesterday. Yep.
Great. I'm glad that they work hard and they're good people. I can be a good person, but if I'm not good at my job, you have to move on. So because they're good people and they work hard, it doesn't give me hope that anything's going to do it. Like, let's be honest, Russell Wilson was a good person, but he didn't play good football, so they moved on from him. So, no, I don't expect there to be any changes because they're coming out with comments like that of, oh, they work really hard and they're good people. Well, congratulations, the Colorado Rockies. I'm glad people come to check out your ballpark and not the product on the field.
I believe the saying is nice guys finish last.
Yeah.
And that's what they finished quite a bit here. And I don't know, expect it to be a big change. I've always said that about the Colorado Rockies. What are your expectations? Drew might remember this because you're as old as I am. You remember the Mad TV bit, Lowered Expectations? And it was about dating. And it was like, oh, I can't find anybody. Lower your expectations, right? That's what we need to do with the baseball team. Don't come into April, March, whenever they find their home opener and go, this is going to be a year that turns it around. You sound foolish. It's the same team. It's the same operation.
They've made no changes. They're looking to extend Bud Black. Like, what are we talking about?
They spent more money building the inside of the ballpark and changing the vendors than they did on the players that play inside of the ballpark. And I've accepted it. I know who the Colorado Rockies are. They got me. I might be the problem because I'm going to go spend some money down there this summer to sit at the party deck, have a hot dog, crush a drink with my girl, and that's what I get out of the Colorado Rockies, and I don't need anything else from you.
See, and that's so funny because I refuse to do that. I refuse to give Idiom my money because I want a better product on the field. Yeah. And there's such a 50-50 draw, like, of people. People are like, yeah, I'm only going because I want the hot dog and I want to have a beautiful night out. And then there's people who are like, I'm absolutely not going to spend a dime there because I want to see change. And it's crazy how divided Denver is on that note.
But I would also say, like, all right, you're a part of the group that says, nope, we're going to protest. Give me 30,000 signatures and I'm on your side.
Yeah.
But until that happens, I'm going to enjoy the ballpark because it's in a beautiful location.
Rachel, it's fun to have you here with us, so let's hit on some other sports while we've got a few minutes.
Like I'm done talking about the Rockies. We're moving on.
Yeah. No, it's just I do Coffee Break with you, which if folks don't know is on our digital platforms every day at noon. And we talk about everything, so I want to hit on some other things with you while we've got you. Let's talk QB in the NFL draft. Where do you think they get their quarterback, first round, second round, third round, and if it is in the first, do you think they'll trade up? Do you think they'll trade back? What's your vibe right now with the Denver Broncos?
I was actually talking to Andrew Mason. We did Coffee Break live over at Coors Field.
Nice.
And we, of course, talked a little bit of Rockies, and then we transitioned to Broncos, and everyone was like, talking Broncos at Coors Field, there's nothing like it. But he said they're going with Bo Nix at 12, and I agree. I think that is where they're going to land. Bo Nix at 12, I don't think they're willing to sacrifice the future and give up. I mean, you saw the Patriots. They want more than 3 first-round draft picks.
That's crazy.
That's insane. Yeah. It's such a gamble, and the fact that J.J. McCarthy wasn't very, like, highly talked about up until it seemed like his pro day, like, don't trade up to try and get in the 4th and give away 3 first-round picks. So I'm riding high on Bo Nix. I'm not really big on Penix, to be completely honest. I do have some concerns about his work ethic and the injuries that come with that. So I think they're going to stay at number 12 and see what can happen.
But real quick, doesn't Nix at 12 feel like a reach?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Please,
like, what if you trade back to 18 and you get Bo Nix? Doesn't that make us feel a little better because you get an extra draft pick?
Maybe, but it's also a gamble because what if somebody all of a sudden jumps in front of you? The Raiders still need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so many teams that need a quarterback that you kind of just have to say, I'm not willing to gamble my entire future away, but if I have to do it at 12, even though he's probably a pick number 18, 19, you got to go with that.
I was thinking about that yesterday, too, because we had the conversation about teams behind, and you did a good job saying, hey, they don't need a quarterback, they don't need a quarterback. But I came to the Giants, of the New York Giants, and they pick an interior lineman, Malik Nabers, whatever they pick at 6, and then go, ah, here's a chance for us to get to 18, get to 20. Bo Nix is still hanging around because the Broncos think it'll be something to play down the road, and then they lose their guy to a team like the Giants that go up and trade and take their dude.
That would be devastating. I can't imagine if we walk away here without a quarterback on day one. Like, Broncos country will have a heart attack.
Rachel, last one. Who do you feel better about going into the playoffs, the Nuggets or the Avs?
The Nuggets.
Even
with the Jamal questions, I think he's going to come back. I think they've been really cautious with him, and I think that's the right approach. As long as Jokic can stay healthy, I know there's been some talk about his back and that's how that's bothered him. As long as he can stay healthy, Jamal will come back and be Jamal. I feel much better. The Avs, they have to have Val Nichushkin back. If he doesn't come back, and I know he's expected to tonight, but not 100% guaranteed. I haven't seen that yet. But I feel much better about them than I do on the Avs front.
All right, that's Rachel Vigil, Coffee Break, DenverSports.com. Go find her, go see her, go watch her every single day. All right, right now, we got to tell you about what's happening on Thursday, July 25th up in Cheyenne. You want to see Luda? You want to see T-Pain? Well, we got your chance to go on that Thursday, July 25th. If you're listening all week, 3 times a day, you've had chances to win tickets. You're going to have some more chances a bit later on here with Zach and Phil. But it's Luda. It's T-Pain. It's at Cheyenne Frontier Days on July 25th. And caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043 wins the tickets. Caller 4 right now, 303-713-1043. Good luck.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Leading you up to first pitch, here's Stokely and Josh.
It is Will Peterson in for Brandon Stokely today. We're hanging out live at El Patio. It is right across the street from Coors Field. It is popping, too. Come by, see us, say hello. Get you some tacos. Get you some drinks. Get yourself registered. We're looking at about another, 20, 30 minutes. You can get registered. Come scan our QR code and possibly take home the big grand prize of the day. But you got to be here to scan that QR code and when we call out the winner. 303-713-1043. If you can't be here, you can join us via the RamosLaw.com text line. And then I did just tweet it out. Well, I tweeted out the Here for Dinger jersey that I saw. So follow along there at Joshua Dover. Will, what's your Twitter?
At Peterson Will. Peterson is all E's. P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N-W-I-L-L. It's a great jersey we saw earlier, Here for Dinger. I mean, listen, man, in a roster devoid of stars,
yeah,
Here for Dinger is not a terrible idea. Who are the stars on this team? Like, Charlie Blackman will always be beloved in this town.
Of course.
He's got to be number one.
Yep.
I would venture to say that Kyle Freeland is two, but his first two starts haven't done him any favors. And then after that, it is slim pickings because no one likes Chris Bryant. Ezekiel Tovar is still relatively anonymous.
But he is a good player.
He's a good player. Nolan Jones off to a horrible start. I mean, it's kind of sad that it's really Chuck and his beard.
Yeah.
Kyle, because he's a local kid, and that might be it, Josh.
They still got Lawrence, the guy with the hair.
Justin Lawrence.
I was a big fan of that guy. Who's the guy getting married to, not Ariana Grande, but looks like her?
Cole Tucker.
They got her pregnant.
And he's long
gone. Oh, he's
gone,
not here anymore.
It's Vanessa.
Well, screw that story, then.
Who's Vanessa, Drew? Hudgens?
Hudgens. Hutchinson?
Hutchinson. Hudgens.
I don't know. Hudgens. Okay.
She was in, like, High School Musical or something,
oh,
apparently.
Oh, okay. I just knew she was famous. I don't really know.
Yeah. But like, if I'm being
but that's
serious.
A, honestly, that's the answer to the question. We didn't know that he was on the team, and that's supposed to be, you know, a storyline.
Who is beloved on this team? I literally think it's Charlie Blackman, and that's it.
I think Kyle Freeland still gets the love, especially from this crowd. This non-baseball, but we're here for baseball crowd, because they do know he went to TJ. They do know that when he's on the mound, the Kyle Freeland bros are lined up with their 21 jerseys out in front. So that's it. It's Chris Bryant. Or I'm sorry, it's not Chris Bryant. It's Charlie Blackman. And then by default, for now, it's quickly fading away. It's Kyle Freeland.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a buzzkill, but that was – that reached its peak 4 or 5 years ago.
You think so?
He's a local kid, and he's got his TJ bros in the stand, and he's competing for Cy Young, and he's winning their only playoff game in the last 15 years at Wrigley Field. We're kind of living in the past at that point. The present right now, I'm rooting for Kyle. I want to make that abundantly clear.
Of course.
He only gets 3 or 4 more starts if this happens, mm-hmm. and they will have to send him to AAA. Remember, he got demoted a few years ago when he had a rough start, and that was a big deal.
You think they would send him to AAA? Their ace, Will. Their ace.
Josh, have you witnessed what he said? He's thrown batting practice. You can't consistently trot a guy out who's going to give you no chance to win. You can't give up 10 runs in the first 4 innings and say, yeah, we're going to give that guy another start. It's a disservice to the rest of the team.
I honestly, and I'm not trying to take a shot, but it's going to come off as such, like, I don't think that this organization is baseball savvy enough to even consider that move.
They did it 4 years ago. Remember he came off all the great years,
yeah,
and he had to go spend
a
month in AAA, and it was a big deal or whatever?
4 years ago, you had Trevor Story on the team. You had guys like Nolan Arenado on the team.
True.
You still have star power to sell tickets. I mean, they're going to be, after this weekend, they're going to be desperate for some attention, man. And Chuck brings that. Kyle brings that from time to time, even if it's not the greatest of attention. Like, you want to go see a Colorado kid pitch at 20th and Blake.
He's going to have to figure it out then. He's going to have to figure it out fast.
And because that's the
other
thing.
Bud Black is – people can have their opinions on Bud Black. But former pitcher, too much pride to just keep trotting a kid out there who's going to give up 10 runs in 3 innings. He's just not going to do it.
I like Bud Black a lot. And this is just me saying how I feel and based on speculation. I think Bud Black checked out on baseball management about 2.5 years ago. I think this is a paycheck, it's comfortable, and it's nice to live in Colorado during the summer.
Okay, but he's also not going – you may not be wrong, but he's also not going to let Kyle keep embarrassing himself on an every 5-day basis. And that's what the first two starts have been. They've been embarrassing. Hopefully this is a moot point. Hopefully he gets it back on track. He did have a good spring training. I know Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post has talked about that, and if I'm going to trust anyone, I'll trust Patrick because I know he was down in Arizona for a good chunk of that. So I trust his reporting, but, man, good spring training fell off a cliff pretty quick based on what we saw in Arizona and Chicago.
The star power that you mentioned, that just – it's a little shocking to think about what it actually is. That, and as good as Chuck is, he's 37, right?
Yeah.
He's a 37-year-old guy that's on the last leg of his career. And you know what? Zach and Phil were talking about Chuck. Was it yesterday? I think they were having the conversation and kind of comparing him to Colorado greats that won't be Hall of Famers but never really got over the hump because of their teams. I don't know what it's going to look like come trade deadline, but I have a pretty good feeling as to what it would look like. Do right by Chuck. Get him the heck out of here. Give him a chance to be with an organization that's going to go all in or that is already all in, and let him taste winning on his way out of Major League Baseball's door.
Yeah, I think if you don't trade Chuck at the MLB trade deadline, you're doing him a disservice. He needs to get a chance to go chase a ring. And from what we've seen in the first seven games, Josh, he can hit the baseball still.
Heck yeah.
And he's been their best player. He's roping the ball all over the field. So, yeah, why not trade him to the Atlanta Braves or the Houston Astros.
My Braves.
Or the New York Yankees or the LA Dodgers. Oh. Like, give him a shot to at least win a championship. And I believe he would have been traded last year, Josh. But remember, he broke something. Was it a hand, a wrist? He broke something.
You're right.
And missed months and months and months and didn't really have that value. But say he's hitting 280 with 15 bombs come late July, that's going to look like a great bat to put in the lineup of a contender.
And look, like I said, it's not even really about you're rebuilding. That's what they've been doing forever. And you have to get X, Y, and Z for Charlie Blackmon. It's about doing right by Charlie Blackmon and allowing a guy that's paid his dang taxes to this city, that team, and that organization to go out and chase a championship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, the return is a moot point.
Yep.
I mean, what are you going to get back? Some double-A kid we've never heard of? Maybe a draft pick? I mean, it's not like football or basketball where you trade these veterans, you want a building piece. You're trading Charlie Blackmon just to give Charlie Blackmon a shot at a championship. No, it's funny the differences in the sports because you're right. If you traded, I mean, Pat Surtain II's a better player than Charlie Blackmon. But if you trade a PS2, fans would riot if you don't get two first-round picks. Whereas Charlie, we're going to get some kid from the Braves who's 19 and is hitting .362 at single A. And that's the way it's going to be.
And may never do anything in a Colorado Rockies uniform.
May never even make it to the show.
Right.
I mean, that's how hard baseball is it's this journey that so few guys even accomplish that when you trade for prospects, you really are playing the lottery.
All right, we're going to take a timeout, come back, put a big bow on this thing, getting you set. First pitch is about 30 minutes from right now, right across the street from where we sit at El Patio in Denver. We're done at 2, but Zach Byan, Philip Lindsay will then take over at 2 and get you through the game at 6 o'clock. What are we watching this weekend? How do we feel about the Nugs and Avs chances? And who gets more views between the men's and women's Final Four this weekend? We're going to answer all those questions next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Leading you up to first pitch, here's Stokely and Josh.
Hey, Kev, bringing us in with a little batter swing. When's the last time you said that chant, Will? Hey, batter swing,
swing, batter. I don't know, when I played baseball 20 years ago?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, something like that.
That's the voice of Will Peterson sitting in for Stoke. We're wrapping up, winding down, getting ready to hand off to Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay. A couple of things. Actually, you know, we played in what was it, the Media Softball League together?
Yes, we did. Gosh, 6-7 years ago at this point. You are an athlete, my friend. You are not a softball player. Sorry to just chuck you under the bus, but I figured
do.
I'd tell the people.
Yeah. You're 100% right. I embarrassed myself several times in that league, but still a whole lot of fun. We're at the point of the day here live at El Patio where people are starting to get loose. People are starting to feel it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a little dance-off happen between two bros.
Let's go.
I saw a couple of friends have to help another friend make their way to the restroom. So it's starting to get going here, and the game will start in 23 minutes.
Well, Philip Lindsay is in the house, and he is quite popular. wearing his Rockies gear. Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny when Phil walks by. I mean, we see Phil every day. When Phil walks by, you can see all the bros go, bro, that's Philip Lindsay. That's Philip Lindsay. And it's cool because, I mean, listen, Phil was the best Broncos player there for a few years. And hometown kid, Denver South CU, still beloved. I see Zach Bye getting some fans as well.
There you go.
You know, just because you didn't play in the pros doesn't mean you don't have fans.
It's actually been really cool to see some people and meet some people.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we listen to you every day. Nice to put a face to it. And, like, it's also cool to see, like, oh, you text. That's what you look like. Like, now I'll remember that forever.
Exactly.
So.
No, it's always good. I've had a handful of people say, I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Listen to you on Denver Sports Tonight or whatever. So I appreciate people saying hi. But, yeah, it's Phil Lindsay's in for 4 hours of radio and shaking hands and taking pictures.
That's right.
I'll tell you that much.
He did tell me during the break that, like, you know, he's been pretty busy for a few years. And he's like, I haven't even been down here in this area for a very long time, let alone on an event on a day like this. So it's just cool, man. Like I said, be safe, have fun, do it the right way. And most importantly, like, hey, we're representing Denver today, Colorado. Let's not do it the wrong way.
Bro, I was just on these airwaves not that long ago talking about the Philip Lindsay playing for the Colts revenge game against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like, he was just in the NFL, and now he's with us. We're glad to have him as a teammate. And I think he's glad that the body's a little easier doing radio than it is getting hit by Kareem Jackson.
He's still pretty, like, if he gave you a 10-yard head start in a 30-yard race, do you beat Phil?
He gave me a 10-yard. No.
No, you don't. That's the right answer, because I don't either. No one does.
Bro, you can go watch his YouTube highlights. That breakaway speed was – he got one cut, and you knew he could go. So, all right, that's enough complimenting, Phil.
I'm going to rip him later just to make up for all that good stuff. All right, let's look at the weekend. Let's look at the weekend that's going to be before we get to the local teams. Let's hit the Final Four. You got the women's Final Four tonight. ESPN will see North Carolina State and an undefeated South Carolina at 5 o'clock. That'll be followed by number 3 UConn, Paige versus Caitlin, number 1 Iowa, a 7 o'clock tip-off right there. Will, what's Caitlin playing for, and do the women get more eyeballs than do the men this weekend?
Yeah, it's interesting because the Duke and North Carolina State men's Elite Eight game got about 3 million more than Caitlin Clark in Iowa versus Angel Reese in LSU, but I think this game will be the highest of the four games this weekend. I would say Iowa, Connecticut tonight on the women's side. Purdue, NC State will be 2 on the men's side. Then, of course, Alabama, Connecticut will be 3. And then I think the early game tonight, South Carolina and North Carolina State on the women's side will be 4. But I fully expect Caitlin Clark and Iowa, and you mentioned Paige Beckers out of Connecticut, that to be the highest rated college basketball game of the weekend. Heck, if they did, 12-7 against LSU? I mean, I think 15's the goal tonight, right?
Yeah.
That's the over-under. See if it can crack 15. Really excited, man. That first quarter of that LSU-Iowa game was so much fun and played at such a high level. And then in the second half, Caitlin Clark just took over. And you said it earlier, she might be 2 wins away from becoming the best college basketball player of all time. And we're not talking about the best women's player. We're talking about the best player of all time. You talked about Lou Alcindor maybe being in that conversation, Pistol Pete Maravich, but no one recently has had this kind of college career. And it also speaks to why the women's side is better, because they play there for years and years and they can build legacies, whereas the men just want to go one and done and get to the league as quick as possible.
I also have been kind of kicking this back and forth with myself. What does it translate? Caitlin Clark's going to be Indiana, are they the Fever? I think that's what the WNBA team is there in Indiana.
Yeah.
That's who she's going to go play for. She is going to get drafted by Indiana and then take her talents to the WNBA. Although, if I were her manager, I'd say you take that $5 million Ice Cube offered and you go play in the Big Three. But she's going to go play in the WNBA. Does that translate? Does that become game one WNBA? And if they're smart, it's whoever drafts Angel Reese and the Indiana Fever. And that's game one of the WNBA night, and you just redo that dance. Does the eyeballs and viewership translate in your mind?
No, I don't think so, man, because the WNBA as a league just has no momentum. That's unfortunate. I don't have the answers to that.
Sure.
I'm not quite sure why. But no, the WNBA is not on anyone's radar. Is Caitlin Clark a big enough star to potentially change that? Maybe, but she's not going to change a whole league, right? Maybe people will tune in for her games, but that doesn't mean the league is going to suddenly gain popularity. I mean, we can say with 100% certainty the college women's basketball game is significantly more popular than the pros.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree with you. There'll be more eyeballs. I'm not sure it's going to change the way that the sport is consumed entirely. All right, couple things locally, then we'll touch on the Rockies here. But the Avalanche tonight, 7 o'clock in Edmonton. Georgie is in net tonight after Eustace was in net last night. Then they got the Stars on Sunday, which if they do have any chance or want any chance of winning the division, competing in it, you got to take care of business tonight and Sunday against the Dallas Stars. Val's with the team. I guess it's not 100% that he's back, but it's like 99.9% that he is back. I'm very intrigued to see how he returns to form, how much better everybody else is. It's almost not like the trickle-down effect, like the trickle-up effect for everybody else on the top line to now not have to do more heavy lifting than they've been doing all year.
Phil's over here talking smack about you.
Sorry.
About me? It kind of looked that way.
First of all, he must have heard what you were saying and thought it was me.
I love how you call him Val. You guys are just on first-name basis.
We're tight.
We've done 8 hours in the last 32, you and I together, as I filled in for Stokely, and you've called him Val, I think, 14 times. Never Valeri Nichushkin, just Val. You know, he's like Seal. He just needs one
That's
name.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he should play tonight. You don't fly to Minnesota and then fly to the team with Edmonton unless you're playing tonight. And I think without him, Josh, we've discussed this. It's a first-round exit type team. Look, they did it last year against the Kraken. With him, it's raised the Stanley Cup. He could have won the Conn Smythe 2 years ago. He was that good in the playoffs. So, yeah, I am looking forward to the Avalanche in Edmonton tonight. And then you're right. Let's see if we can make that Stars game matter. At least make it matter and not feel like, okay, Dallas got the Central. We're locked into the two. You're definitely going to have to hold off Winnipeg. I know they've been struggling more, but you certainly want home ice in round one. Hold off Winnipeg for second in the Central. But, yeah, you're right. You get some help and get some wins, and maybe that becomes a de facto game for the division. We shall see.
And look, it's a back-to-back for Dallas, and they're in Chicago the night before. The day before, it's an afternoon game. But and you said it earlier, Will, they're not good. Chicago's a bad hockey team, but anything can happen. And even if Chicago loses, that puts Dallas and Denver with 107 points and the Avalanche with 104. But then it just becomes – you lose, you're pretty much out of the division race unless they completely melt down in the four. That'd be the final four games.
Yeah, and as I've told you, my heart won't be broken at all if the Avs don't win the division. They went all in for it last year, and then they looked like a team out of the gas in the playoffs and lost shockingly in 7 of the Seattle Kraken in round one. Much more about feeling like you're playing good hockey than, oh my gosh, we won this banner that no one's going to care about. I want a Stanley Cup banner. Not a Central Division banner.
That seems pretty simple, and I agree there, Will. Nuggets, they'll take on the Hawks tomorrow night. They are from Atlanta. Jamal Murray should be back. I heard Michael Malone saying pregame that he probably could have gone, but we want him to feel 100% ready before we put him back out onto the floor. So maybe that's just an extra 24, 48 hours. Jamal gets back there. It's the second-to-last home game for the regular season. Give the fans a little bit of a show, and it doesn't mean playing for 38 minutes. I'm still easing him into this until he feels like he's ready to play 38 minutes. If he's back tomorrow, Will, I'm still on that 20, 24-minute restriction plan.
Yeah, but I just think getting him back in these final six is huge. You don't want his first game to be round one, game one.
No.
That just scares
me. That would be
me.
A month miss, by the way.
Right, and there's just too much talent of who your first-round opponent's going to be to gag round one, game one, and ultimately have that. Malone did tell the TNT crew he expects he's got a real shot against the Hawks tomorrow night. I think, too, kind of coming off that loss where Malone gets ejected, Michael Porter Jr.'s a no-show, Reggie Jackson's playing too many minutes. Sort of the perfect storm of this is it. We're putting Jamal back in because we're – I mean, you could tell last night they look like that – the cartoon character that's boiling, and then erupted everywhere.
Yeah.
Last night was a big buildup of frustration, and I think what cures your frustration is Jamal Murray getting back in the lineup.
I mean, you think about last night. They handled business with Jamal in the lineup last night.
Dude, they lost by two, and Nikola Jokic – I thought he was going to make that shot, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the ball goes up, you're thinking – oh my gosh, he did it again, right?
Gamer,
like you literally are having the Warriors flashbacks and you're kind of going through your head of, oh, this is going to be the number one play on SportsCenter. And my mind immediately goes to, are we going to write about this on Denver Sports?
Yeah.
Like, It's amazing how fast your brain can process in that half a second the ball's in the air. But I think any Nuggets fan line if they didn't think he was going to make it, because we've seen him make that circus shot so many times.
It is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay coming up at 2. All right, and final thoughts here on the Rockies, Will. Again, this isn't a baseball day. It's a day to celebrate Denver and how beautiful our downtown area is, safely and responsibly, I'd like to add over and over again. But what do you think happens today? Austin Gomber going to take to the bump in about 13 minutes from right now. How do you feel this game goes today?
Oh, it's the centerpiece of the Nolan Arenado trade.
Of course.
Wow.
This guy.
Zach Bye was going to come join us, and he flashes me the 157. He's got three more minutes of being a celebrity here in El Patio, taking selfies, mingling with his fans. Oh. I had to call him out, flashing me the 157 there. I won't mention that they showed up at 203 yesterday.
That's
but,
right.
You know, it is what it is,
It's good
boys.
To be the drive time show, Will.
Gomber, man, listen. Someone's got to stop the bleeding.
Oh, and Austin Gomber's that guy?
No.
Oh.
I'm not betting that Austin Gomber is going to stop said bleeding. But what I'm telling you is that someone's got to do it. And this guy was the centerpiece of the Nolan Arenado trade. You were the centerpiece in the most lopsided, embarrassing trade in franchise history. I actually don't envy Austin Gomber. Do you realize the kind of pressure this dude is facing?
Oh, dude.
And he's talked about that. Remember he talked about that last year of like, I'm very, very aware of who I was traded for. And that probably gets to your head, right?
Of course.
Like, that's not fun to be Austin Gomber and the expectations. I don't know, Josh. If you want me to give a prediction as we hand it over here to the drive.
You don't have to give me a prediction. Tell me if they win more than a half a game this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they'll get swept.
Okay.
I think they'll get one off the race. I think they'll likely go 1-2 in this series. What do you think?
I'm with you. I think it's 1-2, and I think that's today. I think the energy, the juice, the building buzzing, that's all going to contribute to today. And I think they play a pretty solid baseball game today. I actually think
they look decent. You told me not to predict, and then you just predict winner, winner, chicken dinner today.
And that's the only game they win of the whole series. It's today.
I'm just not holding my breath on Austin Gomber on the mound today, man. I don't know. Maybe the good vibes get him a dub today, but I'm saying Rays 8-4.
All right. You heard it right there. Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in here, part of the drive at El Patio. What's up, boys?
Holy freaking moly.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.